Welcome to our Favorite Things podcast, hosted by your fave Nigerian best friend duo, Tiesa.
And your girl, Mofi. Our show is a space for Black folks in the diaspora and at home to feel warm, seen, and informed through conversations about life, community, and a bit of social critique.
Come for our faves, stay for the laughs. Hey y'all, welcome back to another episode of the podcast. Thank you for listening. We honestly really appreciate y'all who listen. If you're new here, we hope you'll stick around. And if you're not, welcome back. Either way, we hope you enjoy the episode. Let's get into it. Mofi, how are you doing?
Bruh. I'm struggling for life at this point, honestly. I think I was just telling you folks before we hopped on that I'm having a period from hell. Well, not from hell. My cramps are okay, but the bleeding is what's insane. So, like, I just have this lightheadedness that's going on. And when that started, yeah. I was like, I hope I don't have COVID. Is this COVID? You know, we're at that point where you're, like, just checking. One, two, check. Want to check, do I have COVID right now? But that's like what's plaguing me at this moment is just uterus issues. I don't know. I don't feel like it's TMI. But apart from that, good. I mean, it's summer. It's spring, I should say, in Ontario, in Toronto. So we're living. Everyone's like living their best life right now, trying to be outside, people at the park. And it's just amazing to see how much like the weather impacts well-being, honestly. I know we talk about it a lot on the podcast, but in Canada, like, you know, when it's winter, people are like rushing to get to where they need to be because you don't want to be outside for 1 second longer than you need to be. And springtime comes and people are just like taking their time. There's like the people are a little bit more happy, which is also really nice. So I think that's also impacting my well-being as well. It's just like, yes, we are getting somewhere. There's a light. Mm-hmm. There's light at the end of the tunnel. But mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sundresses are out. People are sitting outdoors to eat in Canada. You know, I have to do my my usual Canada farms every so often.
People are sitting outside to eat, yo. But what's also crazy, so this past weekend, I went to Kingston to visit my ex city. No one.
I was like, whoa.
To visit my ex. And I went to see my friend's baby was turning one. And there's just so much like life that's also happening right now, which is very exciting. Like, in addition to like summer and like newness and trees coming out, it's also seeing people be pregnant, and straight people are just having babies like no one's business.
Up and also, down.
But that's how I am. How are you? What's up in your life right now?
I'm good. Spring weather in the Bay is just not that fun. I mean, it's beautiful to look at the trees and everything, but it's still cold. So that's annoying. If you live in the Bay Area, let me know how you're feeling. But I'm feeling really happy this week because I've been on this treatment plan with my dentist. Y'all didn't ask me. But yesterday I went in and she was like, you're doing so much better. Your gums are so healthy and I don't need to see you again for another 3 months. And I was just like, because I've been seeing her like maybe every 3 weeks or something. Yeah, so I've been flossing all crazy twice a day and there's like a huge difference. I went from like almost needing gum surgery to having healthy gums. So that's my win for this week.
Well, that's amazing. What did something happen that like triggered you to go? Because I feel like going to the dentist one consecutively as an adult is just something we don't do. Like, it's dentists, just something nobody doing that. So did something happen that led you to start doing this?
Yeah, I don't know if you got time for that. And like, I don't know if you did as a kid, but we didn't. Going to the dentist wasn't like a regular thing we did growing up. So what context did I have for that? Anyway, I was eating chin-chin one day and I cracked my tooth. So like literally a piece of my tooth fell out. And like I went to the bathroom and it was chin-chin and my tooth. And I was like, ah! This is gross. So literally, as quickly as I could, I booked a dentist appointment, and she fixed that, and she was like, girl, you're not doing a lot of things right. So anyway, she put me on this treatment plan, and since then, it's been peachy. But yeah, I cracked my tooth first. Don't wait till you crack your tooth to go to the dentist. It was not fun for them to fix it.
That's crazy. I'm so scared to go to the dentist, if I'm being honest, because like I just know that they're going to tell me things, and I just don't know if I have the capacity. I'm just trying to live.
It's a lot. Yo, I was crying the first day at the dentist's office because she took all these high-res photos of my teeth, and she was like, okay, these are the problem areas. I'm like, dude, you did not need to show me my teeth in HD, okay? There was literally no need for that. But she was so sweet. She's like the sweetest medical professional, literally, that I've ever interacted with. So sweet, not condescending, clearly just wants to help. And yeah, I sing her praises. I recommend her to everybody. She's great.
Wow. I'm so proud of you.
Thanks, boo. Look at you.
Taking care of your teeth.
Being an adult. I don't want them to fall out, you know?
That's true. It's very fair. Okay. So for this, for this episode, we are going to talk about staying woke, or just like, you know, there's so much going on in the world, and or there's so much that has been going on in the world, I think, for a long time. And then coming the pandemic, we then even had more shit, especially because lots of folks were at home, lots of folks were on social media. And for me, I think that was one of the more pivotal moments of always being, you know, in tune with what's going on and all the many things going on. And at the same time, that has an impact on wellness. It also has an impact on how knowledgeable you are. And I think the pressure to remain knowledgeable about certain things. So for today, we are going to talk about that. We're going to talk about being woke, in quotes, but also how often are we listening to the news? How often are we watching the news? How are we taking in media? And for me, encompassing all of that is that, how are we taking care of ourselves as we do or as we don't? And are there any repercussions to not being woke? So that's the gist. And we're going to have a guest on the podcast. We have a homie on the pod, a friend and a soon-to-be friend of the podcast joining us to have the conversation as well. So I'm very excited because I can't believe we haven't had her on before. So welcome, Tasin, to our Favorite Things podcast. How are you doing? How's your
week? Thank you so much for such a lovely introduction. When you said why we haven't had her on before, I kind of was like, you know what? Maybe this is a question I should have asked. But I'm playing.
Okay.
I'm so honored to be here. It's just such a, you know, wonderful group of folks here, the warmth, and I think just like how you two talk, like it's always a little, even the heaviest of subjects somehow end up in like some lightness, and you two finding joy, humor together. So I'm happy to share that with you today.
Aww.
The Pisces comes on, starts talking about our feelings immediately.
Thanks for being here. How are you doing? How's your week been so far?
I'm doing well, actually. I think this week has been, you know, even hearing just like spring or just the renewal energy that's somewhat in the air. I had COVID last month, mm-hmm. so I think like April was just an L, like just energetically. There's so many things happened. I got my period and then I had COVID, and then there was just the recovering period of like finding energy again, doing all these backlogged tasks. So I think this May kind of feels like, you know, there's some room for enjoyment. Like there's things to look forward to. There's events to look forward to and get ready for. So that brings like this excitement. And this week's been good. Yeah. I don't know. Day's not really saying much in terms of weather, as TSC has already mentioned, but it's nice when you're chilling inside.
I love the newness, the spring, all of the energy, and I'm about to give too much of your tea on the podcast, but Tasin is a new aunt, in speaking of children. So how does it feel to be an auntie? Like legit, like trademark, like it doesn't get realer than
oh
that.
Oh my goodness. I'm obsessed. I knew I would be like, I love babies, so I think there's something that I knew I would be excited about. But the way I was like, whoa, the minute this human being came home, because we were there when he was born, you can't go to the hospital, obviously, so we're waiting for him to come home. And it was just like, I can't believe this is like someone that exists in the flesh that you, your heart just expands in a different way. And my family was there, and her, my sister-in-law's family was there. So it was just like such a family affair to see it, my parents become grandparents. The awkwardness of like a lot of men, like, even though my dad has 30 years of like child rearing experience, you would assume could not hold the baby. So scared of like newborns. And then just seeing how moms ride out, like, it was just such a like nourishing time for my heart, because my sister-in-law's mom was there, my mom was there, and just seeing how her mom sprang into action, it was just, yeah, heart's very full. Definitely miss him. I literally look at photos of him on my phone all the time, and I'm just like,
I love that. I can't wait to be an auntie, like a legit one, not the one that the parents tell the kids to call you auntie. I don't like that one. Don't call me auntie.
Wow, I don't like that one.
Wow, but Tiesa, you are an auntie, but I get that, like, aren't you all of these babies?
I love babies. Let me stop. Those, yeah, the babies that call me auntie, actually, I so much love it. But you know when, like, it's your cousins and they're like, that's your auntie Tessa. She's known you by 70 years. No, that's my cousin, not their auntie.
I am screaming, you're rude. Okay. So to take us to this conversation around, you know, being woke and stuff like that, I'm first of all curious on how, like, for both of you, how in touch, in quotes, would you say you are right now with what's going on in the world?
There's just always so much going on in just different facets. So for me, while I would say that I'm in touch, I feel like it can be very, I don't know the word to use, but it can feel very like American. You know, because like it's what's dropping down on my Apple News, you know. So, yes, of course, I'll hear about Roe v. Wade, but I might not necessarily, for example, the Palestinian journalist that was killed, I saw it on Instagram, not necessarily. Right. And so I have to open Instagram to see that. So I don't really have, I kind of very passively stay in touch with the news. I don't like actively seek it out. So it's, if my Apple News thing drops a notification about what they deem is important to report on, then I'll see it. And then if I open Instagram, I think I have a wider, like a wider pool of information. But I'd say I'm fairly in touch, as in, I guess I know like the quote unquote big things that people would be talking about. Tessina, what do you think?
Well, I'm just thinking about how, even when you just said like notifications coming on your phone, I think it's so hard to not feel like there's something to do or even care about all the time. And part of not having notifications for me now is just that there's already enough happening on your phone, and then you're having like information being delivered to you without even necessarily pursuing it. So it's already hard enough, I think, to navigate information and just like world issues and just the dread. But then you open different apps, and then there's folks with their opinions of it. And then, of course, so much of it is, I think, enraging when you read more. And then, you know, I can see how that's like mobilizing, of course, to a degree, but can also be like very re-traumatizing a lot of folks all the time, because there's images and like very sensitive information details that are available. So to be honest, yeah, same. I haven't really been actively pursuing. I have Twitter, so that's always like breaking, you know, and then sharing and the issues I care about. So I'll always know when to moderate myself off Twitter for that day based on kind of what I see in the morning.
That is so, so true. Whether or not I will continue opening Twitter for the rest of the day depends on what I see the first time I open it. I'm like, okay, I want no parts. Like when that whole Will Smith thing happened, I opened Twitter, so everybody had a think piece. I literally closed it. I'm like, I'm not opening Twitter till tomorrow. Like, I don't have time for this.
Literally, I feel like that's what feels a lot for me. It's not just the news or the information, it's like the commentary and how, like, all the time, and I'm curious on what you guys think about that, because all the time, like, do people always have to say something? I know, to the point that you mentioned that, like, yeah, maybe it's a way to mobilize, but do people always have to say something is my question.
I have the same question.
No, they do not. That's the answer.
They do not. They absolutely do not. Honestly, sometimes just retweet the one you agree with. Or just, you know, send the link of the tweet to your friend group. You're discussing your WhatsApp group chat. Like, we don't all need to know what every single person thinks on every issue.
And it connects to the point on, like, cancel culture, essentially, or to one point that Yemi was making in our cancel culture episode. So if you're trying to hear our thoughts on cancel culture, please listen to that. Where, like, there's almost this pressure that maybe folks have felt in the past that, like, if you're not sharing something, then you're not, like, you're not aware, you're not an ally, you're not supporting a movement. So I think that that has also put the pressure for folks to, like, to create that awareness. So there's also, like, those two pieces of creating awareness, because sometimes, like, if you didn't come on your Instagram and someone didn't share about something, you might not know that it's happening. So I see a lot of value in sharing and in amplifying. And at the same time, I think that there's also a performance that can happen behind that, because people want to just be, like, want to signal that they're engaging in conversation as well.
But it's part of it, though. Like, is it possible to quote unquote stay woke without just, like, some form of performance? Because then people say, oh, if you're not sharing, you know, you'll see people say, like, silence is violence. But, like, if you're not sharing on your Instagram or your Twitter, does that necessarily equal silence?
Right. So can we, like, before we answer that question, because I think it's an important one, what is being woke? Like, if you could describe it, how would you describe what being woke is?
I was going to say, I don't know if I should go first, because initially when I heard that this was going to be the topic, I was thinking about what Kesa had just said, like, some element of performance around, like, quote unquote wokeism, which I think folks have weaponized against valid movements and social justice work. So I kind of was like, I'm actually curious where it originated from, and then I looked it up, and then there was this Vox article talking about how before woke is became in mainstream culture through, like, the murder of Michael Brown, like, 2014, and then folks kind of using, like, stay woke or entered discourse, I guess, as, like, a way to stay vigilant against, like, police brutality. But apparently before that, it was used during, like, the civil rights movement in America by, you know, just sort of, like, the atrocities and fucked up shit that was happening, again, against, to stay woke against white supremacy and white violence. And I was like, I didn't even know this history, because from what I've seen with woke, and that's why I was like, it's very relevant to, like, cancel culture. Like, the term is a way that some people, it's, you know, like, it's character, it's like a caricature of, like, oh, you're this, like, young leftist, whatever, like, very political opinion. And it doesn't really, it takes away from the context of the term. So that was interesting to me. So now I have a different impression of it, to be honest, which is a little bit more nuanced compared to when I had walked in thinking, to me, woke means, some level of performance, showing up as caring about certain things, not necessarily all the time aligning with people's true values, but they don't want to be canceled, so then they want to appear woke. So curious to hear both of your thoughts, though.
Okay, shout out to the research, though, first of all. What? I absolutely love that, because I was going to say, I mean, now hearing that, like, that's really enlightening, and it makes a lot of sense. For me, it was more of just, like, being informed about what is quote-unquote correct or, like, right, you know? So you know that you don't say this because this is no longer a term that's used, or you don't refer to people as this, or you don't, like, hold that type of opinion, and you know that you shouldn't hold those opinions, and so therefore you are woke. So I think that's how I've interacted with this in the past. But
interesting. For me, like, when I think of being woke, I think the word that comes to my mind is conscious. I think of it as, like, just being conscious. Like, you know, there's a level of consciousness that we have to have. I know that there's a term referred to as, like, this concept of being, like, double consciousness, which is, like, you're highly aware of how you're existing in this world, of systems that are in place, of, like, histories and things that really have gotten us to this point, have gotten us to where we are right now, but also where we need to be. So when I think of being woke, I think it's like you've woken up, like, mm-hmm. literally, like, you're awake, like, you're no longer sleeping because you have, like, your eyes have to be open, mm-hmm. you know, type of situation. And that's how I think about it. And I feel like there was a certain point in life, and I feel like maybe that's where we met, Tahseen, where, like, if I would say, like, that's where my wokeness almost started kicking in. I think that for a long time, I was almost just existing in the world. Like, yeah, I know certain things are happening, but I'm not thinking through, like, so many layers. You know, like, somebody dies, it's like, oh, that's fucked up. But, like, at that point, and I think that sometimes it depends on your life that really gets you, or where you're at in life that really gets you to that point or to those points of wokeness or of consciousness. And I think for me at that point was moving to a city that was predominantly white, that I wasn't as insulated as I always was before, that I had to be having certain conversations. I remember, like, our lunchtime, when I used to have lunch at work, then we would sit down and just talk about shit, like, talk about religion, talk about race, talk mm-hmm. about so many things, power. And that's when my mind started opening, really. And truly, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, at a learning institution, no less. So,
at an institution. So I think that also comes to that, brings us to that conversation of, I don't know, I'm losing my thought, but even to just this concept of being, like, of performing or of choosing. I know that, you know, sometimes people would say, take a break from the news cycle, take a break from certain things. And I feel like there's certain people that can't, and not just because, oh, I don't know. I think that's my, and there's also, like, question mark behind that, that I don't know, as a Black person, as a Black woman, as a Black, all of these things, is that for a long time, even if you folks listen to the podcast before, there are certain times, certain aspects of this podcast where we were talking about, like, shit that was happening in the world. And that was because I felt that I wasn't doing my life, I wasn't doing anybody's life justice if I wasn't sitting and talking about what's mm-hmm. happening in the world. Because, like, what the heck? Like, you know, and at the same time, I think I'm now at a different point in my life where those things are still important, but I also have a life mm-hmm. to live. And how do we balance wanting to be, like, the burden in some way of being super conscious? It strips a lot, because this world is so fucked that it strips a lot from you when and if you have to be aware. But is that also, like, rooted in privilege that I can be like, all right, I don't really want to think about this? I don't know. I'm actually really rambling, but the point I'm trying to make is that, is there really a balance? Can there be a balance, and for whom? But is it also true that for Black and Brown and Indigenous folks and, you know, queer folks, trans folks, you can have the mix, you can have both? Like, can you have joy in life right now while you're also, like, conscious of the tools and the systems in place that want you to not be joyful? You know, that's my question.
Ew, I feel like that's a... And that's a question, like, for critical thinking. Like, you just said that you rambled, but I think it was just showing a critical thinking process. And it's important questions that you're bringing up. And if I'm being very honest, I don't actually know if I have an immediate answer. And Tahseen, I'm curious to hear your thoughts, but it's always been that question of if there can be a balance, if you can be experiencing joy while also being very, very aware of the oppression that's a lot of time happening to you. Even if it's not happening to you, then it's happening around you and in communities that you belong to. And personally, I just struggle with knowing if it's possible, because in my life, like when I think of like just my inner circle, just me and my friends or whatever, I find that when things are not going great, even when there's something there that's happy or that I can feel like joy and like gratitude about, the thing that's not going well tends to consume me, and I don't feel like I deserve to express or feel, or that I can even feel any of the happiness. And that's how I operate. But then I also don't know if that's helpful. Like, do we need to be able to experience that joy so that we can, I don't want to say like battle the oppression, because, you know, maybe some people are not like directly doing that, but so that you can give or show up in whatever way you want to show up against these systems. So I don't know.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's a very important layer to that though, as well, is that by pouring into yourself, you know, of course there's privilege, and I think that's the undertone to all of it as well. Like, if there's a privilege to show up and say, oh, I can turn my news cycle off, turn your notifications off, because there's folks not only in organizing and activism, but also thinking of like news, people who have to report the news, or like folks who manage aspects of like work related to this information sharing. Like, there are folks whose day-to-day life is to be inundated with like all of these things and share. And so I recognize my positionality is like this person in the system that's sort of reading and engaging through my own, you know, as Mofi said, like double consciousness. I see all that. And at the same time, hearing what both of you have said, you know, Mofi, like thinking back to meeting in Kingston and just everything that was happening at that time through the election of Donald Trump, like just bizarre as fuck to this day to think of, like, just, you know, whatever, let's not, you know, U.S. politics, or just like the way the circus that things were at the time, and just feeling, I think, a lot of anger, and then finding community in that because folks are angry and they're wanting to talk because it seems like so many people are yelling and shouting, and so you want to be part of that collective and make sure that your, you know, the values that you stand for are heard. So I think it's interesting to almost witness like two types of like insulation, where, you know, there's a period before that, let's say that you said, you know, you're not really awake, you're kind of existing. It's also to do with like our age, maybe like the things where people are doing. And then, you know, coming into a time now where it's like life is getting real, I think, in people's personal lives. Like, there's just a perspective that comes through time and age. And then you're trying to find your existence within that, which then requires you to, you know, find your joy and feel like a human being.
Right.
But I don't know. I just think there's a season for things. And I want to say, like, I also hear a lot of burnout. And I think the folks that are talking about wanting to turn things off now, it's like maybe you've been reading and following things for years and years and years and years. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking back to being on Facebook and like being so passionate back then. Yeah. Facebook warrior, 100%. Up in comments, replying to random people, paragraphs. And then some people would come into my DMs like, thank you for saying this, da da da. You feel this moment of like this dopamine rush, like I'm doing something, you know?
Yeah.
But like, as a human rights student going through undergrad, following policy, like being in certain spaces, I feel like there's people who are genuinely like, Black Lives Matters, and like, you know, this time has shifted my awakening. Like, your awakening started 2 years ago, so sorry, you shouldn't be tired. I feel like those, you know, like, what did Rihanna say? Like, pull up, you know, like, you need people to be, if we're tired, like, let us collectively let some people be tired, and other folks should be continuing amplifying and learning and whatever, and being the angry ones, and then we can take turns and live in harmony, because it's just not sustainable for the same people to be engaged. It's exhausting for everybody.
Yeah. And sometimes it's exhausting to just also feel like, when you feel helpless. I feel like there's so many scenarios or so many things that come up or in the news that are so devastating that you just get catatonic. You just feel like there's nothing you can do. And then there's like back to back of those things where you're just like, the world has gone to shit.
Right.
What can I do to do anything? And then, I don't know, I feel like that's also another another piece of it,
another layer to it. Yeah. Because sometimes people might check out because they are like, there's nothing I'm going to be able to do anyway. Mm-hmm. So what's the value of just having all of this information?
Mm-hmm. And it is overload, you know, like it is. We see information on so many different platforms. Mm-hmm. If you're on Instagram, Twitter, and just your phone in one day, you're getting news from everywhere. Like,
definitely. And I think that the news, I don't know, the news industry also plays a role in being able to like sensationalize things, to really like tap into like our, like I feel like our brains have just grown so much bigger in some way, because we're getting all of this information all at once. I also think about the people though, like I think that there's the other layer to this stuff is that I agree, I feel like we need balance because I don't know, we have this one life and, you know, whatever, however it comes and goes, that's kind of what it is. And at the same time, there's folks that are just like living in this world literally without any form of consciousness, like vibes at all, you know, just moving on vibes. And I don't think that's fair. I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's right. I don't think that we should normalize existence in that way. Like, no one's saying that people always have to be like social justice warriors or like always engaging on like on social media or always posting and stuff like that, but because I think that the information that you have really impacts how you show up at work, how you show up with your family, how you show up, how you treat other people, what you advocate for. So it's not even just this like always like being woke in quotes or being aware or conscious. It's not always about the performance, in my opinion. That's how I see it. It's about being knowledgeable. And I feel like people conflate those two things, that they just want to not be aware so that they just continue to live their life with blind spots, essentially. You know, and I don't think that being aware doesn't always mean that your life has to be like boring or whatever. It just means, and it's all of the things that I said.
Yeah, 100%. 100% agree. Yeah.
People are so selfish. I think it's really selfish. I think it's really selfish. I feel like, yes, and not to judge people that are not like, you know, to the point that has been made earlier, but I think that we owe it to one another to know what's going on, to be able to like show for people better. And like when you sit in a space, I think I was listening to a podcast recently that was talking about gender, like gender diversity, talking about non-binary folks, talking about transness. And this person on the podcast was just like, right now that's just not my problem. And somebody had asked them like, so what happens if you have a child and your child is trans? And then they said, yeah, then I'll get educated then. And I'm like, oh, okay, so too you late. Would wait, exactly, you know, whatever, maybe it's never too late, but like you would wait to the point of having a child that's trans to then want to get educated. And like, how much does it take right now to not even like, not to like go be like the like on the lines of activism or whatever, but to just learn a little bit more about a community that you don't know, you know?
Yeah, 100%. And I think it also comes back to feeling like something needs to be affecting you in like your person, and it needs to be like right at your doorstep for you to have any knowledge about it. Like you said, no one is saying that you should necessarily like grab a soapbox and stand outside, but you can learn a bit, you know?
Yeah. I love that you said, Murphy, how it's like, can be an act of care, and it doesn't have to necessarily be at a macro systems level in your response, but it could be how you show up for your community or your friends. I think always being able to find kindness, like, I don't understand why that's such a point of contention, but I genuinely believe people just want to be angry at things and react to their emotions instead of like responding, approaching with curiosity. It's annoying.
Mm-hmm. And there's almost this perfection, I think, that in some way it's either like society has put on, or we internalize it, whatever that looks like, to be able to show up in a like in a perfect way, or to say things in a like perfect way, you know. And I think that removes a lot of the authenticity that people can come into certain spaces with and being like, okay, I really don't know, but I've just seen this post and you know, it doesn't look okay. And that can just be kind of where things are at. But I was curious though, can I ask a question? How do you folks engage or learn about things that you're not a member of the community? Because I think that there's also that aspect of stuff that, you know, with the fact that there's so much going on in the world, sometimes it's just, you just don't know. You don't know what's hitting in certain communities, give or take. And are there, I don't know, do you have thoughts about this, or are there ways where you seek out this information if you do?
I think Instagram has been that tool in the past for me, because in terms of just having people, but it's usually from people, maybe not me seeking it out, but maybe it's from people like amplifying one page or another that I didn't know existed, or I didn't know people were talking about this, or I didn't know like this was an issue in this specific area. And then you have somebody who's like dedicated their Instagram page or has an Instagram page dedicated to having conversations about XYZ. And so I think Instagram has been that tool for me, I will say. And but maybe that's just by virtue of it being probably the social media that I use the most, and I use that very loosely because I don't even use it that much. But yeah, so I'd say probably Instagram.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's kind of almost like an invert, like the other side of what we were saying about earlier. Like it's something that, you know, social media is by a platform by which sometimes you don't have a choice of how much information you're receiving, but it's also something that's the only vehicle by through which you're even getting some updates. I used to subscribe to like news world, like newsletters. I remember there was one that I really liked. It was called The Daily Skim. It was founded by like two women. I want to say one of them is Canadian. Maybe I'm making that up. But just sort of giving highlights and like in kind of digestible ways. But to Tessa's point earlier, a lot of information is very Americanized, or like from the perspective of American Western media. So I stopped, and there was always a heavy emphasis on like just things I didn't care about, to be honest, like around like white celebrities and stuff. So I feel like it wasn't sustainable. I haven't found a replacement for something like that. So I rely on Twitter, and I think the thing I like about Twitter, almost like, is exactly what you said you didn't like, Mophie, is around people's like opinions and just like their perspectives. But sometimes that's what provides me the nuance of something that I would consider, or like someone taking this, or me reading an original tweet being like, okay, you know, what's so bad, right? And then someone being like, no, actually, like, this is why it's so harmful, or this is also a perspective, and the exchange is just so needed that sometimes I can seek it, like, when my curiosity is piqued, like, I think I will follow that train of, like, what happened, like, what's the origin story here, and learning through that, but not actively pursuing knowledge in that regard, to be honest, which makes me feel bad as I say it out loud.
Like, that's okay. Let's normalize not actively pursuing knowledge, I guess. I don't know what I asked you folks, but for me, how I see, I think it's social media as well. So Twitter, Instagram. I also, like, in some podcasts that I listen to, they would like touch on stuff, or as corny as this is, sometimes it's like in these like daytime TV shows, like I watch like The Social, which is like a Canadian daytime TV show, and sometimes they talk about random shit, but sometimes they also talk about like, yeah, some like things that's happening in the world or like news, and that's how at least I would get the first like introduction to be like, oh fuck, this is happening. And then if anything, if I want to do further research, then I will. But before I used to also listen to, I think The Daily News was what it was called. It's also like these snippets, US-based, you know, they just give you like high level information on what's going on. And I used to listen to that a lot too. But yeah, I think I'm at a stage in my life right now where, yeah, I'm just seeing what's happening from like, from social media and just from like the big ticket news items as well.
Yeah. And we're all like interconnected, right? Like we can't just be, you can't pretend that you're in silos as much as you want to act like this is not affecting you specifically right now. But like Everything is interconnected, it's intersectional. Nothing is happening in a vacuum. Like, so, you know, to understand what's going on or to learn about what's going on in another community outside of yours or in the world, I think it's just, honestly, I kind of just feel like it's just, that's just how it should be. You don't have to know everything, and it's not possible to know everything. But that little time that you take out to say, like, I don't know, read the news, quote unquote, however you do that, or like from reputable sources, or have these conversations with your friends, right? Like, I was going to add that sometimes it's also from my friends that I learn, I learn certain things because they're engaging in news in different ways, or they're engaging with different communities in different ways that I might not necessarily be doing, and I get that information that way.
That's true.
All right, so I think this is where we're gonna put a pin in it. And to just wrap up some words, I feel like, you know, however people need to take care of themselves, I think both, all can happen. I don't think we need to live binary lives where one has to happen over the other. Maybe in some situations, but also, like, if you're seeing things come down on your social media, on your Twitter, and, you know, you can just read about it, doesn't mean you have to, you have to be the biggest pioneer of it as well. But yeah, I guess here's to staying woke and to knowing things, and to being conscious as well.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with our highlights. All right, y'all. So here are a few of our favorite things. Why don't we have our guest start us off? Tasin, what are you loving from the past week or weeks?
Well, we kind of already took one of my favorite things in my introduction to my nephew, because I was like, well, we gotta think about it. I had trouble initially. I was like, man, it's been bleak. But then I thought, I was like, okay, that's something that has brought me so much joy. I think just seeing the, being so grateful for technology in terms of, like, you know, photos and videos and the small ways that, like, joy can be shared. There's something I think Mofi had said earlier, like, just being around children and just, there's so much newness, there's so much joy in, like, the small, like, the most mundane, the basics of basics. Like, your fingers are moving and you're like, wow, that's so interesting, because your brain has learned for the first time that what you're thinking in your head is making your fingers move in a certain way. Like, that's just so fascinating to me. So definitely a huge source of my joy right now. The other one was actually that I've really been watching a lot of Family Feud at night. I feel like I'm falling into this terrible American stereotype of, like, these people who are, like, on their couch and it's, like, late and the blue screen is blaring with some game show. But my partner and I, we struggle to sometimes find common ground of what we want to watch together, because I'm not trying to watch, like, a docuseries about some cult or some murder. Like, I just don't, going back to staying woke, like, there's just certain aspects I'm like, let me protect my peace and sense of entertainment. So reality TV, as you both know, has been the new wave. Shout out to you both, because I feel like I was sleeping on, when y'all were doing, like, The Bachelor back in the days, like, those pods, I was like, oh, wow. But when I got put on, love reality TV shows, especially Are You the One, I lost it. I was like, this is the best one of all. I can't believe Mofi didn't tell me about it. But shout out to
you. Nah, and Mofi is so rude, by the way, because you were like, oh, shout out to you too. She's like, I don't understand, how did TSA get into this equation?
Why is TSA getting shouted out?
She's like, this babe doesn't watch reality TV, and anything she knows is from me.
Shout out to me. Thank you.
Shout
to
out to
me.
Mofi, the reality TV queen.
Oh my gosh. It's so interesting that you actually, like, enjoy it, because it's so, you're so multi-dimensional, Mofi, and, like, your interests and the things that you, speaking of non-binary interests, like, literally the range is outstanding. But Family Feud is just fun, y'all. Honestly, like,
I love Family Feud.
No, it is. And you know what? Don't knock late night game show watching, okay? And it is truly a great way to find common ground when you're looking for something to watch with someone. Everybody loves game shows. Okay, maybe not everybody, but it's an easy thing to enjoy. You know, it's short, it's quick. If it's Jeopardy, you're answering questions, or Family Feud, or all these other weird ones, I personally love mm-hmm. them.
And Steve Harvey is just like low key shady with certain folks and families, and it's just like good, wholesome entertainment.
Yes.
Plus the family aspect, of yes. course. So that's number two. But then I'll say my favorite one most recently, because I was thinking about it today as I was catching myself in this routine. But I had heard, Mofi, you said you have been getting into lo-fi. I've recently really yes. enjoyed like piano music. Also, you know, linking it to my nephew, because I feel like a lot of things we do for babies are things we should be doing for adults, yo. Like, right. White Sound, him hearing it is so relaxing. Like, why are we so go? Like, even our music, mm-hmm. it's like the tempo, and then there's the next song, and it's like time is always running.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, let's relax. Like, so my self-care, after I take a shower and I like do my skincare, whatever, I'll put on like Spotify, like the yeah, like the happy, there's some sad-ish ones, but like finding like there's a lot of, I think, just the arts in piano, and you're just like, wow, I feel so many things. But I like it because mm-hmm. I feel like in my main character plot, it's like that scene where, you know, you're getting ready, and it's like, it's my Bridgerton moment, which I don't watch the show, but in my head.
I don't know what she's talking about anymore.
cut. Motion, and there's like this piano music playing, you know, you just need some like, you need like a carriage or something outside, maybe in your imagination, but it works even to come sit at your desk after.
Oh my god, that must be, I don't know if it makes you feel good or if it makes you feel bad when you then sit down on your desk.
Because how do you go from thinking you're a Bridgerton to sitting down on your desk?
She's a princess, guys. I mean, she has ridden in a carriage.
And I actually have. It wasn't my idea.
It was my mother.
Her wedding, they rode into the sunset on a carriage.
Being actual royalty. Okay, girl.
I swear. See, all these people, this is... I was like...
You will mistake me for someone that I'm not. Because the way my mom sprung that on me, like, she actually hid that until it was fully in motion. Things had been paid for. Deposits had been made. And she's like, by the way, this is my dream.
Okay. Yes. And then we bid them goodbye. We were like,
wow, okay, the exaggeration. We came on the carriage.
Nah, I believe her. She did not leave on the carriage.
Wow.
She was there.
We're all standing there, being like,
This was to see.
Best pictures, bro.
Y'all won't be making up a memory right now. Lying to her viewers.
Best pictures. Okay. But family, sorry. I want to quickly say, for folks, Family Feud, in maybe people that have a different Netflix, when I was in Nigeria, I was watching Family Feud, South Africa, and it's amazing. It's like the best, like, I would have guests and I'm like, you want to watch Family Feud? And it was so good.
Okay, so you see, I had no idea Family Feud had other family feuds.
I swear. And Steve Harvey is the host, so, and he's obviously problematic sometimes. He's
like, obviously. No. Like, I'm in Africa.
He's not the he's a host in South Africa. Steve Harvey's bag is wild.
Like, they couldn't get Bonang or someone, or literally any other South African presenter.
No. It's so good.
Wow. Anyway, Tizina, those are your highlights?
Those are my highlights.
All right, awesome. Thanks for that riveting interlude.
Just try it. Just try to find a song and then get ready and you'll see. You'll see what I'm talking about.
I'm going to
I listen to lo-fi when I'm showering, though. I put on some nice lo-fi music. I'm like, I get it, though. I clown you, but I actually understand the vision. Mm-hmm, it's nice.
But like specifically Bridgerton, is the Bridgerton of it all? Okay.
The funny thing is, I don't watch it, so I have no idea. But it's problematic as it sounds. That's the vibes I get.
Okay, Mofi, what are some of my highlights?
All right. First thing is that I'm obsessed with this popcorn, Boom Chicka Pop, and the sweet and salty one. Oh my god.
So good. In the purple bag. So good.
In the purple bag.
So good.
I look at the grocery store. I'm just looking for the purple bag. You know? I love it. Amazing. All right. Next thing, speaking of reality TV, The Circle. The Circle is back. Love me some Circle, you know, hashtag Circle Queen, hashtag I'm here for it, hashtag, you know, summertime. I don't know.
But yo, Tessine, every time The Circle is back, this podcast hears about it. Every single time. Every time.
On The Circle.
I would love to be on that.
But the thing is, Mofi would have to show a lot of energy in the quiet moments.
Yes, that's true.
I feel like there's part of the script has to be read this out loud, like every, and express your reaction, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I would struggle with that part, especially in group conversations. I feel like I'd be quiet. But one on one, you know, I love it. I love that show so much. Okay. So The Circle. Circle send. And then Tessa, if you ever watch The Circle in the future and I hear of it, because you're it feels like you're clowning me right now.
I am clowning you. I'm having such a good time. Watch me watch it though and be like, Mofi, yeah, now watch The Circle and I love it.
Yeah, and I'd be like, okay. Next show. You know, Nollywood show, Blood Sisters. Oh my God. Love it. Tessa, you watched it, right?
I did watch it. And I low-key kind of wish we had, obviously, time. I don't wish it was that. Yeah, but I do wish we had a little bit of time to talk about it. Or like maybe we, I don't know, not dedicate an episode to it. But whatever. It's great, y'all. It's great. It's very, very.
Maybe we can do, maybe we can do a Blood Sisters conversation. Anyways,
okay, because we could bring up because we could bring up some specific topics. Actually, it touches on very clear themes that we can talk about.
Yes, everybody should watch it. It's like new from Nollywood. It's really well done. There's suspense. There's like all the good things about Nollywood. Even better, I think Netflix was really in their bag with this one.
And some of the bad, okay, but lots of good things about Nollywood.
Okay, cool. And then the last, well, yes, and my last highlight is Z-Way. So I don't know if you folks know Z-Way. It's Z-Way is a host, I guess, social media person. I don't know if she's not an influencer, but she's a comedian as well and has like this show on Showtime where she talks to like controversial people and interviews them. And I don't know if there's so much like viral clips. She interviewed Charlamagne in her new season and was just asking him about like his misogynoir essentially, and he's like, I have a wife and kids or something. Really good. And so it's about the way she edits the show as well to like clown people. And she's just like, she's, you know, her set is pink, it's very like princessy. I'm here for it, and I think people should watch it.
Amazing.
So talented. Cool. I'm going to check it out. I saw her. I think Trevor Noah just interviewed her.
Oh, really?
I think so. I think he, or it's coming up. I don't know. I saw it on YouTube and I was like, who is this person? Yes. But that sounds exciting. I'm going to go check her out.
Yes, yes. But that's all for my favorite things.
Okay. Well, I only have two, which is fine because I feel like Mofi and Tessine have given us a very healthy highlight segment. But my one is this book I've been reading for too long called All You Need Is Love. And it's because I've been reading it as an audiobook. And sometimes you just finding time to listen to an audiobook, you know, like no distractions. It can be really hard. Anyway, yeah. It's so sweet. It's not children's, but I think it's like middle grade, where the lead character, she's like 12 or 13, and it's like heartbreaking and sweet, and it's set in Barcelona, and like there's a central theme of food. Y'all know I love food, and any shows or books that center food. So I'm really enjoying it. Very sweet. It's by Tania Guerrero, so if y'all want to look for it. It's really cute.
Okay.
And my last highlight is music, of course. This person who was just recommended to me, Joy Oladokun, her new album, I don't know if it's new, 2019. Anyway, it's called In Defense of My Own Happiness, and it's so good. It's like 20-something tracks of just pure artistry. It's amazing. If y'all listen to it, tweet at me what your favorite song is. Let's chat.
I will be listening.
Yes, Mofi, you should listen. I actually feel like there's some songs you might really like on there.
Okay, okay.
All right, that brings us to the end of our episode. Tassine, thanks so much for joining us this hour.
Thank you for having me. I'm like writing things down of what I should do and listen to. So,
oh, really?
Very bountiful leaving the speed.
Oh, I love that. Did you enjoy your time?
I did very much.
Awesome. You're not allowed to say if you didn't, by the way. But exactly. Thank you, Tassine, for hanging with us. And thanks to everybody that has been listening so far. If you made it to this point, we'd love for you to go ahead and subscribe to us. We are on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, wherever else you listen. And we're there at Our Favorite Things. And favorite is spelled with a U. We're also on socials, IG, Twitter, at Our Fave Pods. Tassine, where can everybody find you? Do you want folks to find you?
Find me on Twitter, y'all. I'm trying to become Twitter famous. At Hungry Brown Girl.
Okay. We'll link it in the description as well, just in case you you want to just click. Mofi, where can everybody find you?
I'm on Twitter at Miss Badmus, on Instagram at Miss Badmus, and Mofi's Edition.
Nice, nice, nice. I'm also on Instagram and Twitter at TIIESE, and I write a travel blog, samefootprints.com. Until next time, y'all, be kind and don't forget to find something to be grateful for. Bye.
Bye.